This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of December 15th, 2005. With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. Here is a look at what the police did to us this week.
He's hitting him all over his body, until he fell to the floor.
The suspect had 40 pounds on the officer, so he's going to try to do anything to use force with the force that's being given at him, to the point where he's going to be placed under arrest and cuffed. Once he's cuffed, everything will stop.
Took out the baton and started hitting him all over. I yelled, "Leave him alone." He asked, "Why? Why are you hitting him? He's not doing anything. His hands are up."
He had already gave up, you know what I mean? Like, the cops just kept hitting him. There's no need for that, you know what I'm saying?
Witnesses accuse a Riverside County, California sheriff's deputy of using excessive force during an arrest last Thursday. KESQ reports that citizens reported seeing an officer striking a person over and over with a baton until the man eventually collapsed. The victim of the beating was taken to a hospital for treatment and eventually charged with assaulting a police officer. The identity of the deputy involved is not known.
I'm glad to be back in the city right now and able to see everybody and see the officers who walk up to me and shake my hand and say, you know, good job. Oh, I don't know what to expect from the hearing. I think it's more of a formality. I hope that they give my job back. I think they should.
To listen to the person that put these tapes together saying the only mistake he made was putting them on a website to make them public is beyond my imagination.
Almost two dozen San Francisco, California police officers are expected to be suspended after making an offensive videotape, which was discovered last Wednesday. An Associated Press report says that one officer posted the videos on his website. The mayor and police chief described the videotaped skits filmed by on-duty officers as sexist, racist, homophobic, immature, and vulgar. Uniformed officers are seen on the recording making fun of Asians, blacks, homosexuals, women, and transgendered people. Most of the officers involved work in a single police precinct. An investigation is being conducted. A Klamath County, Oregon sheriff's deputy was arrested after a drunken car crash on Wednesday. KATU reports that Deputy Lance Waldron was not supposed to be driving his cruiser while he was off duty. At the time of his arrest, his blood alcohol level was 3 times the legal limit. He drove the car into some trees on a remote stretch of highway. Waldron has been charged with unauthorized use of a vehicle, driving under the influence of alcohol, and criminal mischief. He has been fired from his job and is currently free on bail. The chief of police in Mountain Home, Idaho, was arrested for driving drunk last Tuesday. The Mountain Home News says that Chief Tom Berry was stopped by a state trooper who saw him driving erratically. His blood alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit. Berry was charged with driving under the influence of alcohol and released within hours. A British Columbia Royal Canadian Mounted Police officer was charged with sexual assault last Wednesday. The CBC reports that Constable James McLeod is accused, along with another man, of sexually assaulting a woman last February in Maple Ridge. An investigation of the incident took 10 months to complete. He has been suspended from his job with pay. McLeod will appear in court next on December 22nd. The city of St. Paul, Minnesota, agreed last Wednesday to settle a police misconduct lawsuit for over $400,000. The St. Paul Pioneer Press reports that Officer Michael Lee shot a man to death accidentally as the man was struggling with a carjacker in December 2001. The carjacker was not killed. Officer Lee was cleared of any wrongdoing by a grand jury and returned to duty. The lawsuit was filed by the family of the dead man. The settlement is the largest St. Paul police misconduct settlement ever. A Des Moines, Iowa police officer who is facing domestic abuse charges was fired last week. KCCI reports that Officer Eric Ortman was charged with domestic abuse, assault of a police officer, and interference with official acts in October. He has been on administrative leave since that time.
The conflicts that have been voiced and concerned and complained about prior to aren't conflicts. In fact, they aren't conflicts that concern me. We are certainly duty-bound to bring forth these charges.
The whole circumstance here is rather unusual, and I think there needs to be some sort of guidance as to whether the judges are even going to want to hear this, whether the district attorney's office is a proper entity to be prosecuting this.
A police officer in Neenah, Wisconsin, was arrested on Saturday and charged with 7 felonies. WFRV reports that Officer Daniel Dringoli is accused of committing 6 offenses over a 4-year period beginning in 2001. He's accused of warning a person who ran a marijuana grow operation that he was going to be raided in 2001. When police arrived, the entire operation had been cleared out. Dringoli allegedly told an informant about an impending arrest. He's also accused of filing a false police report, disobeying orders, and providing answers to a police exam to a fellow officer. Dringoli has been suspended with pay since an investigation was launched in September. A Chicago police officer was arrested last Friday and charged with conspiring to sell 50 pounds of marijuana. An Associated Press report says that Officer Joseph Pecora came to the attention of authorities through a confidential informant who had been working with agents on another case. Instead of paying for the marijuana, Pecora claimed that other police officers had confiscated it. He told an informant that he intended to generate a false police report to back up his claims. Pecora has been suspended from his job without pay. He is currently free on a $150,000 bond. A Chicago police officer was charged on Tuesday with using a credit card which he stole from a person who he had arrested. An Associated Press report says that Officer James Chevis has been charged with official misconduct and theft. He was caught on a security video making a purchase with the credit card last month. Eventually, he ran up $1,600 in charges to the card. Chevis is suspended and his law enforcement powers have been revoked. A police officer in Coal City, Illinois, was charged last week with using police records to assist in his illegal private investigation business. The Quad City Times reports that Officer Jose Cerda has been charged with 4 counts of official misconduct, false impersonation of a police officer, and acting as a private detective without a license. The misconduct charges relate to 4 incidents between July and September where Cerda used a police computer system to search for information about individuals connected to his private investigations. Cerda is currently free on his own recognizance. A Springfield, Illinois police officer was arrested on Saturday and charged with driving under the influence of alcohol. The State Journal Register says that a car being driven by Officer Daniel Weiss struck another car, sending the driver of the other car to hospital. Weiss failed field sobriety tests and a breathalyzer test, which were administered by officers who responded to the scene of the accident. A sheriff's deputy in Wayne County, Michigan, was arrested on Sunday and charged with driving under the influence of alcohol after crashing his car. WDIV reports that the unnamed sergeant was the commanding officer of a unit that patrols for impaired drivers. There were no other vehicles involved in the accident and no injuries were reported. The deputy is free on bond. A sheriff's deputy in Licking County, Ohio, pleaded guilty on Tuesday to reduced charges that he shook his baby, causing injury. The Newark Advocate reports that Officer Dustin Burden pleaded guilty to 2 child abuse charges. He was originally facing a 3rd charge, but that was dropped in exchange for his plea. The incidents occurred between January and March. Burden was arrested at a hospital in March where his child was being treated for serious head injuries. In a statement to investigators, Burden admitted to shaking his baby violently on several occasions. Sheriff's deputies in Sandusky County, Ohio, arrested a 10-year-old at his elementary school on Monday. The Fremont News-Messenger says that the child was charged with attempted assault after he knocked over several items on a teacher's desk and attempted to pour water on a camera and spit at the school principal. A former police officer in Dracut, Massachusetts, was arrested last Thursday and is facing multiple charges after attacking a family in their home. The Lowell Sun says that Gerard Dauphinays was charged with 3 counts of malicious destruction of property and 3 counts of assault with a dangerous weapon. Authorities were called when Dauphinet showed up at a home apparently drunk and carrying a firearm. He then picked up several small logs and tossed them through some of the windows of the home. Dauphinet will appear in court next on January 31st. A lawsuit was filed last week against the city of Norwalk, Connecticut, and its police department by the family of a dead man whose remains were mishandled by a police officer. An Associated Press report says that Officer Liam Callahan responded to the scene of a fatal car accident on May 29th. Callahan took a skull fragment from the scene of the accident and commented to other officers present that he would use it as an ashtray. He then stored the skull fragment in his gear bag in a locker at a police station. Callahan was fired from his job in October after the incident was investigated. He is currently appealing his dismissal. A police officer in Meriden, Connecticut, who was accused of beating a man he arrested last September, was fired last week. An Associated Press report says that Officer Brian Lawler was suspended following the beating while an investigation was conducted. The beating was captured on a video camera in the officer's patrol car. The victim of the beating required 20 staples to close a wound to his head.
Unfortunately, you cannot go back in the situation and turn back the clock, and a monetary compensation is the only way in order to make my client somewhat whole. But in addition to that, I think my client really feels that change needs to be made, especially in the outer boroughs. These officers are way too comfortable in the spot and in the manner in which they dealt with her, that we predicted there would be other women. This is not a first-time occurrence.
Two New York City police officers arrested in November for sexually assaulting a woman in her home were indicted by a grand jury last Wednesday for an October incident where two other women were sexually assaulted. The New York Times says that Charles McGeehan and Fernand Clerge were responding to a noise complaint at the home of two women when they forced themselves on the women, groping their breasts and genitals. The women did not intend to have the officers charged in their case. They went to a police precinct after reading a report which said that authorities were not aware of any similar allegations against the two officers arrested for the November 20th attack. In that case, McGeehan and Clerge are accused of sexually assaulting a woman in her car and then following her home and assaulting her again while her family slept. Two more women have also recently come forward with more allegations against the two officers, but no charges have been filed in those cases yet.
Donc, on fait leur travail, c'est ça que nous allons voir. Après, on nous aura ce qu'ils vont dire après.
He said that the justice did something they don't understand, because if somebody do the wrong thing and the judge himself blast the police department, even Conroy, you know, he should be punished. So he showed that he's not happy at all.
A New York City police officer who was convicted of criminally negligent homicide in October will not serve any time in jail. New York One reports that Officer Brian Conroy was instead sentenced to 5 years of probation, which includes 500 hours of community service in the first 2 years. Conroy was working undercover on a CD pirating case when he confronted a man not connected to the case in a warehouse and shot and killed him. Conroy could have been sentenced to 4 years in prison. A police officer in Suffolk, New York, was charged this week with defrauding workers' compensation. WNBC reports that Officer Michael Foreman has been charged with grand larceny, insurance fraud, and defrauding the government. He's accused of saying he was unable to work as a police officer due to an injury. Foreman collected more than $250,000 in compensation during a period where he was healthy enough to respond to more than 200 calls as a volunteer fireman. A man remains in hospital more than 2 weeks after he was beaten by a Herkimer, New York, police officer during an arrest on Thanksgiving weekend. The Utica Observer-Dispatch reports that Officer Jody Wheat is accused of handcuffing a man before picking him up and dropping him onto his head. The man was immediately knocked unconscious. He required emergency surgery to remove a blood clot from his head and also suffered injuries to his arms. A Coppell, Pennsylvania police officer was charged on Monday with offering to reduce a drunk driving charge in exchange for sex. An Associated Press report says that Officer Ryan Qualiero is charged with indecent assault and official oppression. On August 14th, he brought a woman to a police station after he stopped her for drunk driving. When she began to cry, Qualiero began to touch the woman in a sexual manner and offered to make her drunk driving charge go away. He continued to touch the woman in a sexual manner despite her resistance. She was eventually charged with public drunkenness and released. Qualiero resigned shortly after the incident occurred. A lawsuit filed by the family of a woman who was killed by York, Pennsylvania police 36 years ago was settled last week for $2 million. The Aiken, South Carolina woman was visiting York in July 1969 during a riot. She was killed when she got out of the car she was in to take the wheel from her sister, who was too scared to drive. The settlement, reached months before a scheduled trial, will be shared by the woman's sisters and children. A Virginia state trooper was arrested on Thursday for having sex with two 14-year-old girls. According to an Associated Press report, Trooper Juan Zaragoza was arrested by Newport News Police and charged with three counts of illegal carnal knowledge. The alleged offenses occurred in 2003 and 2004. Zaragoza has been suspended from his job without pay until the case is resolved. He faces a possible 30 years in prison if he is convicted on all three charges. A Chattanooga, Tennessee police officer was found guilty of attempted rape last Thursday. The Chattanoogan reports that Sergeant Jerry Davis is accused of striking the woman before forcing himself on her at his home on March 27, 1998. Davis is facing a possible 6 years in prison when he is sentenced in January. He is currently serving an 18-month sentence for a federal extortion conviction. The governor of Tennessee has promised to clean up the Tennessee Highway Patrol, which he says is corrupt. The Tennessean says that a report released last week showed that many troopers had criminal records that should have prevented them from being employed in law enforcement. Some of the charges against troopers included assault, drug charges, grand larceny, child abuse, drunk driving, evading arrest, and burglary. The report was the result of a preliminary investigation being conducted by the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. The investigation will now look at specific cases individually. The report also revealed a pattern of officers fired for illegal activity, later being rehired. There was also some evidence that some officers had driven police vehicles while their licenses were suspended. A major probe of the Highway Patrol by the Texas Bureau of Investigation is continuing. The following is an excerpt from a press conference held by Tennessee Governor Phil Bredesen, where he addresses problems with the state troopers.
Director Gwynn has delivered to me this afternoon his first report on this process, the things that we asked him to do. I've had a chance to review it superficially at this point. It is not a pretty picture. There is a pattern of cronyism, I think, evident in this, that is wrong. It clearly needs rooting out. A lot of the stuff goes back a long way. 1964, I think, is the earliest issue that we dealt with in this. It didn't start on my watch. It's going to end on my watch, and we're going to start that process. We're starting that process today. Let me walk through for you what we have, what we've done here. We asked the TBI to look into people who had been flagged by the NCCI database. Ultimately, there were 48 initially. Ultimately, we found 58 people who showed up in some database. It was NCIC and some of the other databases that existed over there. 53 of them were commissioned officers. 5 were non-commissioned members of the department. Of those, 14 of the commissioned officers and 1 of the non-commissioned have had their records expunged. As you will see, I think, in some of the material you've been given, I am legally prohibited from identifying those officers. There is a state law and there are court orders surrounding those people. When your record is expunged, it's expunged, and we are supposed to remove all of the material from NCIC and from the files relating to them. That's a judicial action. We have one other person who is possibly expunged, and we're trying to actually get the results. There was one person in that list who clearly was the victim of identity theft, clearly has not been guilty in this thing, was the victim of identity theft. We've taken that person out of the list. That leaves us with a total of 37 commissioned officers who have been fully researched, and four non-commissioned personnel. So there are 41 people who are on the list. One or two caveats about that list. This has been a huge review in a week. I think you had 14 people working on it. There could be officers out there who were, for example, arrested in a county, not fingerprinted at the time of the arrest, and we have not gone to 95 courthouses and reviewed the arrest records stretching back over the last few years. So it's possible there are one or two or three other kind of people who have some record, and we will find those as time goes on. But this is working out of the databases that we have. In anticipation, and I think in fulfilling the spirit of trying to be as open as possible, we are in the process of copying the personnel files of those 41 people at the moment. We have to go through and take Social Security numbers out and those kinds of things. They should be available in the morning to you. They're going to work this evening and do it. But we will provide to you, for each of those people, the full personnel file. What are we going to do about these? The civil service laws apply to this. With the civil service personnel, you can't just throw out without hearing or take actions on without hearing. I think there clearly is a lack of confidence in the internal processes in the safety department over handling this. Normally, these would be handled within the department. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up a small committee with a Department of Personnel, the director or his designee, with a director from a person from the TBI, the director or his designee, and the general counsel of the safety department to review each of these files and to make a recommendation to the commissioner, who is the only person authorized by law to take actions in regard to these people. It has to be done by the commissioner or an acting commissioner, whoever's in that position. The recommendations that are made and the actions that are taken will be completely public. We would expect that the recommendations would be made over the course of the next roughly 10 days. It would not take forever. There are, for people on civil service, appeal rights and the like, so I can't promise you that every one of these cases will be resolved during that period of time if people choose to pursue appeals. They will, as you look at the documents, they range from almost trivial to some fairly serious kinds of things in there, and we need to afford these people the opportunity to have their say about what happened and to take some considered action. So that's what we're doing about those things. A second thing that I asked to happen at the same time was for the personnel department to review the files of the other commissioned officers, all the other commissioned officers, those that didn't come up in this database check, to see if there were things in those files that we ought to take into account in some way in the management of the department. That has proven to be a longer task than I or anyone originally thought. One issue that has arisen is that the personnel record and safety comprises multiple files. There is a main personnel file. There is a file labeled confidential with confidential information in it. CID contains information, has files on some personnel, and Internal Affairs maintains separate files in this regard. There is nothing inherently wrong with that process. I have a concern that given the fact that there's a personnel file and then three others, that when public records requests have been made of safety for personnel files, I have a concern that in fact all of those four files were searched for those documents which are properly the subject of a public records request, and we are going to look into that to make sure that they have obeyed the law in its entirety, or if there has been some problem, that those additional records are produced in response to any of those requests. I don't know whether the maintenance of that many different personnel files is standard practice in a safety department or not, but we're going to find out and institute whatever the proper systems are. But part of what's made this difficult difficult is the number of files. They have reviewed 937 files at this point. Those are all the commissioned officers and the dispatchers, who are not technically commissioned officers, but who have a number of requirements on them. 236 of those files have a notation in them that an internal affairs file exists. And we've asked the TBI to go review each of those files. Now, all of those files, some of them will be trivial. Someone has called in and said they didn't treat me right in a traffic stop or were mean to me or something. Others may be much more serious kinds of issues. Mark is going to review those files and isolate any that we feel need some additional attention. They've identified, personnel department has identified 43 files in total, some with that notation, some without, that they think have in them something worthy of note that we ought to consider. An example would be someone where it's clear that they may have had a drug problem of some sort. They've been referred to someone or something like that. Again, these get caught up in the complexity of medical information which can and can't be disclosed and all those things. But we're going to go through that same process I just described with those 43 files to ask this group of people to review each one of them and if any action is warranted based on what's in that file to make that recommendation to the relevant authority, who is the commissioner or the active person who's acting as commissioner, and to take any action which is appropriate.
A Waynesville, North Carolina police officer who was accused of sexually assaulting a child pleaded guilty to a lesser charge last Wednesday. The Asheville Citizen-Times says that Officer Thomas Chandler was originally charged with taking indecent liberties with a child, but was allowed to plead guilty to two misdemeanor counts of assault on a female. An investigation determined that the officer inappropriately touched a member of the Police Explorer program on two occasions. Under the plea deal, he will not have to register as a sex offender or serve any time in jail. He was sentenced to unsupervised probation and can no longer work in law enforcement. A former police officer in Pinehurst, North Carolina, was arrested last Thursday and charged with attempted murder and a number of other charges related to a string of recent break-ins. The Pinehurst Pilot says that Robert Leffler assaulted another man while they were driving away from vandalizing some sheriff's department vehicles together. He is accused of striking his victim with a rifle. Police were called and Leffler was charged with assault with intent to kill, inflicting serious injury, and three counts of injury to property. After an investigation, police discovered that Leffler was connected to a string of break-ins. The day after his arrest, he was charged with second-degree burglary, felony larceny, and possession of stolen property. Leffler is currently being held on a $100,000 bond. An Atlanta, Georgia police officer who shot and killed an 18-year-old in 2003 was charged with murder on Friday. According to an Associated Press report, Officer Raymond Bunn was in plain clothes when he stopped an SUV that he believed was stolen. The SUV belonged to the mother of a driver who was fatally shot when he attempted to escape. Bunn has also been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and violation of oath of office. Bunn is no longer an Atlanta police officer. Transit police in Atlanta, Georgia, handcuffed and cited a man last week for selling a subway token to another passenger. The Associated Press reports that the man was trying to help out another passenger who was having trouble with a token vending machine. The man claims he tried to just give the man a token, but that he insisted on paying him for it. A Tampa, Florida police officer was charged last Thursday with conspiracy to commit mail fraud. The St. Petersburg Times says that Officer Brian Seeley and his wife are both accused of writing bad checks to landlords whose trust Seeley gained using his position as a police officer. Between 2000 and 2005, the couple wrote checks ranging from $72 to $2,500. Seeley is facing 5 years in prison if he is convicted. He was fired from his job in November. A Miami, Florida police officer was arrested on Thursday for stealing $20 from an undercover detective during a traffic stop. WPLG reports that Officer Jose Novoa allegedly pulled over an undercover detective and stole money from him during a search. The officer was already suspected of stealing money at traffic stops, and the detective he stole from was part of an investigation. He was arrested immediately. Police have already received many complaints from citizens about Novoa. He has been fired from his job and is facing theft and official misconduct charges. A Broward County, Florida sheriff's deputy pleaded guilty to falsifying police records on Wednesday. The South Florida Sun-Sentinel says that Deputy Edwin Arias has been sentenced to 3 years of probation. He is accused of making up confessions in order to clear cases. In some instances, crimes were blamed on people who were dead or in prison at the time the crimes took place. Arias was part of an established pattern of falsification of records to improve crime statistics. So far, two deputies have been fired, four more have cases pending, and 29 have been transferred. Arias remains suspended without pay.
The court, you know, of course, lists a number of recommendations. I've reviewed those already along with the mayor, and of course, with his approval, I'll be submitting those to the Civil Service Board, asking them to review them, and then meeting with the board to see what changes we need to implement.
A Florence, Alabama police officer was indicted by a grand jury and arrested on a perjury charge last Thursday. An Associated Press report says that Captain Spence Butler is accused of lying about providing criminal history information to a third party. He has been released on a $2,000 bond. Butler resigned in July in the midst of an investigation into sexual misconduct allegations. The new chief of police in New Orleans, Louisiana, announced at a press conference last Thursday that 60 police officers have been fired for abandoning their posts during Hurricane Katrina so far. An Associated Press report says that 25 officers have also been suspended. The department is working through a series of abandonment hearings that is expected to take several months to complete. 228 New Orleans police officers returned to work after abandoning their posts during the hurricane and are now facing internal charges as a result. The sheriff of Cameron County, Texas, was sentenced to 24 years in prison on Tuesday. According to an Associated Press report, Sheriff Conrad Cantu pleaded guilty in July to heading a criminal enterprise engaged in extortion, drug trafficking, obstruction of state and local law enforcement efforts, witness tampering, and bribery. A number of additional charges against Cantu were dropped in exchange for his guilty plea. A part-time Brazoria, Texas police officer was arrested last Friday for drunk driving hours after being accused of pointing a gun at his wife. The Clute Facts says that police pulled over Officer Randy Davis after receiving a call from his wife. She claimed that he had choked her and pointed a gun at her and at her daughter when the girl tried to call 911. Although police detained Davis, they let him go. He was pulled over again a few hours later, apparently drunk, and charged with driving while intoxicated. He has been released on $1,500 bail and has been ordered to stay away from and have no contact with his wife. A New Mexico State Parks police officer was arrested on Monday and charged with second-degree murder. According to an Associated Press report, Officer Clyde Woods is being held on a $100,000 bond. He is accused of fatally shooting a man who refused to pay a $14 campsite fee and then refused to leave a state park. Woods is currently on paid leave, and his law enforcement powers have been suspended. A police brutality lawsuit filed by a family in Farmington, New Mexico, has been settled for $75,000. An Associated Press report says that the family alleges that they were abused by five police officers in November 2002. The officers accused in the beating are Mike Briseno, Kenneth Raybon, David Monfils, Wilson Charlie, and Jerry Vigil. A city attorney who announced the settlement said that the city has admitted no wrongdoing by agreeing to the settlement. Police in Clovis, New Mexico, arrested a 9-year-old boy last Tuesday. An Associated Press report says that the boy was arrested after an incident where he hit teachers at his elementary school. He was charged with misdemeanor disorderly conduct, but police say that the child could have been charged with a felony. A man died after being shocked with a taser by police in Sonoma, California last Wednesday. Two Vancouver, British Columbia police officers who shocked a man with tasers shortly before his death will not be charged with a crime. The Crown Attorney announced last week, 18 months after the killing, that there is insufficient evidence to pursue a case against the two officers. The man died in June 2004. A police officer in Hamtramck, Michigan, was charged with assault last Wednesday for using a taser on his partner. Officer Ronald Dupuis was arguing with his partner over whether or not to stop for a soda pop on November 3rd when he deployed the weapon. He was immediately fired from his job. He faces a possible 3-month jail sentence if he is convicted. Taser International, the makers of the weapon, announced on Tuesday that the United States Securities and Exchange Commission will not pursue sanctions against the company. The SEC had been investigating several concerns, including misleading medical claims made by the company. Taser International consistently says that their weapons are not responsible for any deaths, despite the findings of coroners, which would suggest otherwise. Parts of the SEC's ongoing investigation are now complete, but they are continuing to look at other areas of concern involving trading of the company's stock. Other than the killings already reported on this program, police also killed people this week in Cleveland, Ohio, Healdsburg, California, Miami, Florida, Las Vegas, Nevada, and Palmyra, New Jersey. That's all for Bad Cop No Donut this week. Feel free to email comments and story ideas. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. Thanks to everyone who sent in articles for this week's show. Bad Cop No Donut is produced at CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto and can be heard in Dallas, Texas on Free Radio Dallas and on Radioactive in San Diego, California at 106.9 FM. I'm Ron Anisich. Thanks for listening.
Prayer and a hope, set handcuffs in a boat to the middle of the lake. The boat sank, the boy jumped, the portions they didn't take. How many men of color died last year? How many dents did it make in any policeman's career? And the mayor and the chief fired pockets out there and look a bit concerned as election time near. Police-related death. Another police-related death. Another police-related death. Another police-related death. Prison is one in four. Prejudice, racism, wrapped in class war. Malcolm X and Martin were alive today. How many lives of keep of pain could they relay? And how much of injustice can anyone repay? And what amount of sorrow can anyone convey? How much suffering must be endured before the source of cancer can be cured? Does color and class make one good or bad? Doesn't prejudice and hatred make humankind sad? Police-related death. It's another police-related death.